You mind the Lord, brother.
Thank you, brother. Bless you.
I have a fan over there I can sit on.
Oh, no.
I didn't think
so. Oh, no.
Okay.
Well, it's a joy to be here tonight. Been good to be in the meeting this evening. I figure Dr. Bagel and Dr. Edwards have preached everything but the maps, so that'd be a good place to start tonight, I guess. And if we run out of them, we'll hit the concordance next. Ought to find something in there they hadn't preached on. Amen. Exodus chapter number 4. Exodus chapter number 4. I will apologize ahead of time for my voice. I've been preaching sick for nearly 3 weeks and can't quite get over this thing. If it gives out, we'll just quit. Exodus chapter 4, find verse number 1. Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. I see men right there. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. We'll stop right there. You can be seated tonight. Thank you. Let's take a moment to pray. Our Father, we bow again in your presence this evening to thank you. Thank you for this privilege to gather again with your children under the tabernacle. And Father, we thank you for what our hearts have already felt. Thank you for the good choir music and the special music tonight. And thank you for just the atmosphere of camp meeting. Father, you know what we need tonight, and I pray that you give it to us. Pray for the help of the Holy Ghost tonight to preach. I pray you'd speak to your preachers, speak to your churches, and help us, I pray, to hear from heaven. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy tonight. We'll praise you for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the context of Exodus chapters 3 and 4 revolve around the call of Moses to be the deliverer of Israel. Moses at this time is around 80 years old. He is a fugitive from the land of Egypt, wanted for a murder he committed down there some 40 years earlier. He lives with his father-in-law, Jethro, and he keeps his father-in-law's sheep for a living. Does not appear to be a very likely choice for the ministry that God has in mind. In fact, when the call of God comes, Moses is a reluctant servant. God calls him to go, and Moses offers every excuse he can think of to get out of what God's telling him to do. In chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, he says, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy. Then he comes along behind that and down around verse number 13 and 14 and says, I don't even know your name. Then Moses says, if I do go, they won't believe me. They won't believe that you sent me. Then he tries to tell God, I'm not very good with words. And then finally he says to the Lord, why don't you just send somebody else? And after all the excuses, Moses finally falls in line and does what God told him to do. Well, right here in the middle of this account, there's a seemingly unimportant question that God has for Moses. And that question is found in verse 2 of our text. And while that question may appear unimportant on the surface, I want to tell you it had vast importance for the life of Moses. Might have been the most important question Moses was asked in his life. In fact, it might be the most important question you'll hear all day long. God looked at him and said, What is that in thine hand? I believe that question has importance for our lives today. When God looked at Moses and said, "What is that in thine hand?" Moses answered and said, "A rod." Far as Moses was concerned, all he had in his hand that day was a dead dry stick, a simple shepherd's staff. That's all it was to him. But in the eyes of God, it was much, much, much more than that. And I want to examine this text today and show you, if I can, what Moses really had in his hand that day. And as we consider what Moses had in his hand, I want you to look at your own life and see what you hold in your hand tonight. We got some stuff in our hands we're not even aware of this evening. God may pass through here before we're done preaching and ask you, "What is that in thine hand?" Let me show you from this text what Moses carried in his hand. First, I would point out tonight that Moses held his personality in his hand. When Moses answered God, and he answered that question and said, "A rod," he was referring to his shepherd's staff. It was a rod about 6 feet long. Very important to the work of a shepherd, used in a variety of ways by those men out on the mountains. It was important to his work, and it was essential to his safety day by day. It was used to protect, to lead, and to guide the sheep. It was used to support the shepherd and help him climb up and down the steep mountain places. It was used to defend the flock and the shepherd from prowling animals and others that would threaten that flock. And Moses depended upon that rod that he had every day he lived. That rod represented Moses as a shepherd. It identified him. When you saw Moses with that shepherd's staff in his hand, you didn't have to ask him, "What is your occupation?" When you saw that staff in his hand, you knew that you were looking at a man who was a shepherd. That thing in his hand that day identified him as a keeper of the sheep. By the way, that rod also represented everything Moses possessed in this world. I've already told you he's 80 years old, lives with his dad-in-law, works for his dad-in-law, keeps his dad-in-law's sheep. He doesn't even have any sheep of his own. Here's a man at 80 years of age, doesn't have anything in his possession but a shepherd's staff. That's all Moses has to show for his life. That rod represented, my friend, his life, his identity, his livelihood, and his personality. It was all wrapped up in that rod. And can I say to you tonight, that rod was a constant reminder to Moses that he had never lived up to his fullest potential in the Lord. That shepherd's staff in his hand was a constant reminder that 40 years earlier he had run ahead of God and tried to be the deliverer of Israel outside of God's timing. He had taken matters into his own hand, and Moses killed an Egyptian, and he had been on the run ever since that day. I'm telling you, he got ahead of God, and because he did that, Moses felt like he had wasted his only opportunity to serve the Lord. Moses, no doubt, had come to a place where he believed he was worthy of being no more than a shepherd. And every day when Moses got up and he picked up that shepherd's staff, that old dead dry stick said to him, "You're nothing but a shepherd keeping another man's flock, and that's all you'll ever be." I'm going to tell you tonight, like Moses, you and I hold some things in our hands that identify us, that mark our lives. I'll just touch on a short list and move on in the message. Some of us might be holding on to our past. Guilt over what we've done and places we've been and the way we've lived and the way we've carried ourselves. Sometimes it might be some pet sin that you refuse to relinquish and let go of. Could be hard feelings over what somebody said to you or what somebody's done to you. Maybe it's unforgiveness, or it might be some upset over the sorrows and the hurts of life. How about feelings of inadequacy, bitterness and anger, some old negative spirit, fear over what God may be calling you to do, even your own talents and natural abilities and the things you're good at might be something that you hold in your hand. And those are the things that identify you. Those are the things that mark your life. And I'm telling you, all of those things, whether they are good or whether they are bad, they identify us and they control us. If we're not careful, we'll come to depend upon the things that we hold in our hands. Like a shepherd leans upon his staff, you and I will find our identity in the things that we hold on to. Some of you have no identity apart from what somebody did to you in your past. Some of you have no identity apart from some guilt you have over some past sin. Some of you have no identity apart from some talent that you perceive that you have. Is something that you hold in your hand, and I'm telling you, your life becomes reduced to a single event or a single person or a single possession. You hold it in your hand and you don't even realize that that thing holds you. Moses held that shepherd's staff in his hand every day. Every day as he went about the business of leading that sheep. But I'm going to tell you, while he held that shepherd's staff in his hand, that staff really held Moses. Moses was the prisoner of a dead, dry stick. And I'm telling you, the things that you and I hold on to in our life, if we don't learn to relinquish them to the control of a sovereign God, they'll come to hold us. They'll mark us and identify us, and they'll hinder us and hold us back. They'll look at you every day and tell you this is all you are and this is all you'll ever be. You'll never rise above it, and you'll never be free from it. You're a failure, a has-been, and a nobody. We allow the things in our lives to identify us and control our spiritual destiny. We look at the things we hold in our hand like Moses and believe that's all we'll ever be. Bitter, sad, defeated, fearful, angry, hurt, broken, wounded. Well, I'm going to tell you, God's going to use Moses, I hope, to show you and me that what we hold does not have to hold us. Moses had his personality in his hand. What is that in thine hand, Moses? Well, that's my personality. I'm a shepherd. That's who I am. And that's what I do. But did you know he not only held his personality in his hand that day? Moses held his problem in his hand. Don't you know when God came to him, and after God's telling him to go deliver his people, and God finally looks at him after all the objections and says, "What is that in thine hand?" Don't you know that question must have stabbed him in the heart? It must have been humiliating for Moses to have to say, "Well, it's a rod, it's a shepherd's staff." Don't you know his mind went back to his younger days when he was being groomed to be a Pharaoh? When that same hand had held a scepter, that same hand had held the emblems and the trappings of wealth and power. But now he doesn't have wealth, and he doesn't have power, and he doesn't have much potential in life. All he has is a dead, dry stick. And I'm telling you, when God asked Moses, "What is that in thine hand?" God was not blind. He saw exactly what was in the hand of Moses. He wasn't asking for information. God was asking for instruction. God was asking Moses to carefully consider what he had in his hand. Because I'm telling you, while that rod identified him, that rod also represented all of the problems that Moses had in his life. That rod reminded him every day that he used to be a prince. That rod reminded him every day that he was now just a servant. That rod reminded him that he was poor and that he owned nothing. That rod reminded Moses that his life was full of vast potential at one time, but now he was a washed up nobody on the backside of the desert keeping somebody else's sheep. And all the things that I mentioned earlier, like our sin and our past and our guilt and our anger, I'm telling you, my friend, those things have the ability to impact who we are and how we relate to those around us, and they have the ability to control our spiritual destiny. Could I just remind you, are you out there tonight? Am I preaching in a foreign tongue? I would remind you this evening, you and I are not supposed to be controlled by the dead sticks of this life. As a child of God, you are to be under control of nothing but the Holy Ghost of God. That's why the Bible says, be not filled with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's why Paul said, the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Just before that he said, I live and yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me. Paul said, I lay my body down a living sacrifice, and Jesus takes me and he fills me. What do you have in your hand today? What is that you're clinging to? Some attitude you won't turn loose of? Some old activity that haunts you and has you captive? Some action that defines your life? I would just let you know tonight, the only thing that should define a child of God is Christ-likeness. In Philippians 1:21, Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. If you were to take that out of that verse, if you were to take Christ out of that statement, what would you have to put in there? For to me to live is, what is it, preacher? Some problem you had in a church years ago that's defined you? What is it, church member? Some situation didn't go your way that defines you? What is it, folks? Some sin in your past and Satan in the flesh keep telling you you'll never get past it and you'll never be anything for God because of where you've been and what you've done. What is it that defines you tonight? What is it that you hold in your hand? What is it that holds you back? Fact is, tonight some people can't even worship because they're filled with bitterness over something somebody said or did. Can I just tell you tonight, that's a dead stick. Some people can't serve God in their church because everything hadn't gone their way. My friend, that's a dead stick. Some folk are hindered by their sin and others by self-righteousness. Both of those are dead sticks. Others are hindered because they think they're the best at what they do. They're the best singer. They're the best preacher. They're the best Sunday school teacher. They're the best. Don't even recognize that their achievements have become liabilities in their life. It is a dead stick. Some preachers can't even function because of what church folk have done to them. It's a dead stick. I hate to go to preachers' meetings. When I first moved to Caldwell County, they invited me to have a Wednesday morning preacher's meeting. They invited me to go, and I went a couple of times because I was new in the neighborhood and wanted to meet some of the fellas. But I found out all it was complain about why somebody's church is outgrowing theirs, or fuss about this problem, or gripe about that problem. I said, I don't have time for this junk. I can stay at home complaining myself. I want to complain. I don't want to be tore down. I want to be built up. It's a dead stick. I'm just saying, my friend, if you have something in your life that controls you, that dead stick in your hand defines your personality. That dead stick in your life controls who you are, and you need to get rid of that thing. It is your problem. It is your problem. But I'd like to say third from the text tonight, Moses held his potential in his hand. Now, Moses is arguing with God here. He says, I can't do what you want me to do. I can't do what you're telling me to do. I'm just not capable. I don't have it in me. So God uses a series of miracles here to teach Moses that he sure enough can go because God's going to go with him. Verses 3 and 4 of our text, God tells him to take that rod and throw it down. And he does, and it becomes a serpent. Isn't that something? Moses fled away. Then God told him to reach out and take it. He grabbed it and it became a stick in his hand one more time. Then God told him down in verses 6 through 8 to take his hand and put it inside his coat. When he pulls it out, it's leprous. Puts it back in, it's clean again. Then God says, when you get down finally to Egypt, you'll be able to turn the waters into blood. And all these things are going to be done that the people might know that I'm with you and that I have sent you. Now let's talk about this miracle of the serpent for a few minutes. Moses here is commanded to take that rod and cast it on the ground. When it does, it turns into a serpent. Moses runs away from it. Now let me just say to you, I'm not a snake handler. I told the church if we ever decide to take it up, we're going to start out with them practice models you can buy at Walmart. They're made out of rubber. We'll start with the practice models and work up from there. But I'm not ready to pick up any vipers this evening. That may be your thing, but that's not my thing. The only handle I want to do is hoe handle, amen? I'm not into handling snakes. But Moses was a shepherd out in a desert, and it seems to me that Moses would have seen snakes before. This probably wasn't the first time Moses ever seen a snake, and I doubt he spent his whole life running from snakes. It tells me this probably wasn't your ordinary run-of-the-mill snake that Moses encountered out there in the wilderness. I was reading where the Jews, their oral tradition, the Midrash, they called that written oral law. They wrote it down, and they said in there that this serpent, it turned into the same serpent that met Eve back there in Genesis 3. I don't really believe that, but I believe it's a different kind of snake. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what I believe it was. I believe it was a cobra. And the reason I say that is because the cobra was the symbol of Egypt. It was one of their gods. Pharaoh had a gold cobra on his headdress. He wore a gold cobra around his neck. And they worshiped cobras like they were some kind of a god. And I think that seeing Moses take a stick and turn it into a cobra would have been a commentary both to Egypt and to Israel. It would have showed them all that God is superior to the gods that Egypt worshiped. But here's the point. To Moses, that rod in his hand was nothing but a tool. It was a weapon. It was a necessary part of his life as a shepherd. In his hand, it helped support him. It helped protect him. And it helped him in many ways, but in his hand, it was still a dead, dry stick. But when that stick was given over to God, it became a living thing. It became a thing of power. It became something that God used to defeat the enemies of Israel and to liberate his people. Moses went down there and used that stick to confront the Egyptian soothsayers, used it to turn the waters of Egypt to blood, used it to bring forth the plague of frogs, used it to bring forth the plague of rice, or lice, not rice, used it to bring forth the plague of thunder and hail, used it to call an east wind that blew in a great plague of locusts, used it to part the Red Sea, used it to bring the Red Sea back together again, used it to smite a rock and bring water out of the rock in the desert, and he held it up on the side of the mountain while Joshua fought the Amalekites in the valley below. Came a thing of power when he got it in God's hands. Then in verse 4, God commanded Moses to put out his hand and take it by the tail. Now, people who mess with snakes will tell you, you don't do that. That's a recipe for disaster. When I was about 12 years old, I was at my aunt's house one day and her preacher pulled up. You can't trust a preacher. And they'd been out blackberry picking. It's in the middle of summer. Had a big old sack full of blackberries. He pulled out another sack and he said, while we was out there picking blackberries, said we killed a rattlesnake. Said it's got 12 rattles and 3 buttons on it. I said, what are you going to do? And I'm about 12 years old. He said, we're going to throw it away. I said, I want them rattles. He said, well, reach in there and get it and cut them off. I reached in that bag, grabbed that snake by the tail, pulled it out, and as the tail came up this side, the head came up this side. That lying preacher hadn't killed that snake. But he didn't last much longer. We killed him. You don't get a snake by the tail. It'll turn around and bite you. God's trying to teach Moses here, even though that's something you normally wouldn't do. You just need to go ahead and obey me. And if I tell you to do it, it'll be okay. And Moses reaches out and takes that serpent by the tail, and it turns to a dead dry stick again in his hand. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I guarantee you, though, Moses never did look at that stick the same way again. I bet you when he laid down that night and set that thing up in the corner, he kept one eye open that direction, making sure that thing wasn't going to come spend the night with him, huh? Oh, don't you know? It'll make a difference. God took that dead, that weak, that dry, that powerless stick, and he used it in a mighty way because Moses yielded it up to God. Had it remained in the hand of Moses, it would have had no life and it would have had no power, but it would have continued to hold him in bondage until the day he died. But because he yielded it to God, he was freed from its power over him, and God was free to use its power in his life. You going over to chapter 4, verse 20? Look at this. A little later it says, Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. That stick got a new name now. It's the rod of God. How'd it become from a dead dry stick into the rod of God? It's because God took what was put in his hands, and he transformed it from a dead, weak thing into a thing of power and a thing of glory and a thing of blessing. Can I just remind you, God still uses weakness to accomplish his power. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know the verses. We might as well read starting about verse number 25. The Bible says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren. Now here's a verse for your self-esteem. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God doesn't choose the excellent things. What does he choose? Why, he chooses dead, dry sticks. Look at it. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring naught to things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I'm telling you, if Moses had skills of oratory and Moses had military power and Moses had the ability to defeat Egypt by himself, he would have gotten the glory. But God took a dead stick in the hand of a dried up old man and use it to shake a nation to its very foundation. Read your Bible. It's all the way through there. God is always using weakness to accomplish his will. You take a sling and a stone, put in the hand of a 15, 16-year-old shepherd, and watch him kill a lion or a giant. You take an ox goad, put in the hand of a judge named Shamgar, and watch him kill 600 men. You take a jawbone of an ass and give it to a Samson when he's full of the Holy Ghost, and he can slay mighty, mighty numbers of Philistines to the glory of God. You take an old barley cake and an earthen vessel named Gideon and watch God use him to defeat the Amalekites. I'm just saying, praise God, he excels in taking weak things and broken things and dead dry sticks like you and me and using them for the glory of God. Oh, I don't know what you're holding today, but you do. You know what your dead dry stick is. I've been going along doing well, seem like. And all of a sudden, just, you ever get where you just feel kind of sideways with God? Is that just me? You get to praying, you get to reading the word, God will show you an old dead dry stick in your hand. You got to take that thing and get rid of it. You got to lay it down and deal with it so you can have the touch of God back on you one more time. Because I'm going to tell you, if what you hold in your hand is not yielded to the Lord, it'll be a hindrance in your life. Everything you hold in your hand, whether it's good or whether it's bad, will hinder you if it's not under the control of a sovereign God. And not only will it hold you back, but it affects everybody around you. Listen, it affects your family. It affects your church. It affects your camp meeting. It affects everything that you touch in your life and everything that touches you. That sin you refuse to deal with is a dead, dry stick in your hand. Hello? But when you give it to God in confession and repentance, it gives Him the opportunity to display His grace, His forgiveness, and His restoration. That bitterness you hold over what somebody said or done to you, I'm telling you, is a dead, dry stick in your hand. And it's choking the spiritual life right out of you. It'll cause a root of bitterness in your heart to spring up and choke you out. You'll be like Ahithophel, upset at David's upset. The Bible said he went home and he hanged himself. Don't you allow a root of bitterness to work in your heart. I don't care what somebody said to you. I don't care what somebody did to you. Doesn't matter how bad it may have hurt at the time. It's not worth ruining your relationship with Almighty God. That old negative spirit that possesses you, that causes you to look for bad in everybody and everything. Y'all don't have any of that in y'all's churches, do you? Huh? Wouldn't be happy if Jesus showed up to preach Sunday morning. Hello? That's a dead, dry stick. You got to deal with that thing and get rid of that before God can bless you. That sorrow you've allowed to shape your life and hinder your walk with God and steal your joy, it is a dead, dry stick. I'm telling you, if you bring it to Him and throw it down, God will teach you that even that pain and that hardship can be turned into a blessing. He'll make the reality of Romans 8:28 real in your heart. That fear that grips your heart and keeps you from following God and doing what He's told you to do, that's a dead stick in your hand. You bring it to Him, He'll replace fear with faith and put you on the firing line for the glory of God. That ability you have that you're so proud of, that thing that you think you do better than anybody else, that's a dead stick in your hand. When you surrender that thing to God and give that thing to Him, He'll use that to edify the church and be a channel of blessing to other people for the glory of God. Those accomplishments in your past you're so proud of, well, that's a dead, dry stick in your hand. He'll help you to see that you are what you are by the grace of God. I'm just trying to get us to understand tonight. I'm just trying to get us to see that everything we hold in our hand is either a burden or it's a blessing, depending upon who energizes it. If it's energized by the flesh and by sin and by this old world, it's a dead, dry stick. And it can't do anything, but if it's energized by God, it becomes a living thing, and it'll help us. Everything I hold in my hand has the power to hinder my life, my walk with God, my church, my family, everything. But if those things are yielded to the sovereign control of God, I'm telling you, we see God moving these days. Sometimes we wonder, I guess I do, why isn't God saving souls? I mean, you'd have one here or there. You know what I'm talking about? Where's revival? Where's the glory of God? Where's the power of the Holy Ghost? Where's old time conviction? Where's a moving of God like we've heard about and like we used to see? It may be there's some of us like Moses. We got our hands full of old dead dry sticks. Need to throw some things down so God can bring some life out of them. It may be some of us are like old Achan. We got some junk buried deep within the tent of our heart. We got some gold and some silver and some Babylonish garments in there. We just maybe need to throw them down to God. It's a dead, dry stick. Maybe some of it just holding back. You ever thought about that? You know, I realize that my preaching's not much. And my public praying, I just don't feel like I pray well. And I just don't have good words to use for a testimony. But you know, if I stand up and do it for the Lord, He can take even that thing that's a dead dry stick in my hand and use it to help somebody else. Some of you sit here tonight and you say, I'd like to testify for God. I'd like to praise Him, but you don't. It's a dead dry stick, honey. Y'all just get up and throw that thing down and see what God can do with it. Some of you got a shout in your heart and you won't let it out. It's a dead dry stick. Just go ahead and throw it down and see what it turns into for the glory of God. Lord's put a ministry on your heart, put a call on your life, and you won't go ahead and do it because you're afraid and you're timid. I say just throw it down tonight and get it in the hand of God. Put it in His hand and let Him have it. Your dead stick might be the key to revival. It might be the key to camp meeting. It might be the key to the power of God in your family and in your church. Just take that dead stick and throw it down and see what God does with that thing. That's all I'm saying. Moses climbed that mountain that day with a dead stick. He'd probably been carrying that stick for about 40 years. And over those years, Moses had used that stick. But you know that stick used him. It identified him. It controlled him. That stick said, all you are and all you're worthy of being is a shepherd keeping somebody else's sheep. That stick was a problem, and Moses didn't even realize it. He thought he couldn't live without it till he put it in the hand of Almighty God. And I'm telling you, when he got it in God's hands, that stick became the power of God, the key to God's power in his life. You see, Moses yielded that stick to God that day, and guess what? He was released from its power. Moses had to go home and see Jethro and said, Pop, I hate to tell you this, but I ain't going to be coming back. I'm going to turn in my notice. Will you give me a 2-week notice, a 30-day notice? No. I got to go now. Well, what you going to do with that shepherd's staff? That's not a shepherd's staff. That's the rod of God. He said, well, it looks like the same stick you had this morning. Hey, it may be the same stick, but there's a new man holding it. God's changed me and delivered me from the power of the dead dry stick. I hold the rod of God in my hand, and I'm going to carry it to His glory. What is that in thine hand? What you carry in the night? What is it that defines you? What is it that controls you? There's some sin in your life that you need to lay down and walk away from the night and make a break with it. Some of you here, a man full of pride, never have bowed to God and give your life to Christ. You ought to do that today. Maybe some event in your past, that some hurt or some sorrow, some bitterness. It's a dead dry stick in your hand. I beg you to throw it down. Some area of life where you feel like you've arrived. Some talent that you're proud of. Something in your life that holds you back. What is it? Whatever it is, you may think you hold it. I'm going to tell you something. It dominates you. This is your opportunity to be free. God's still changing dead dry sticks into the rod of God. When you hold it, it's a liability. When you give it to Him, it becomes a spiritual asset. You see, life is either about a dead stick or it's about a living Savior. I've had too many dead sticks in my hands in the past. Time's too short to walk around carrying a dead stick. I'd rather take it and lay it down before God and let Him take it and turn it into the rod of God for His glory. What is that in thine hand? Let's stand together. May Brother Tim come around. Brother Freddie, I'll let you take the... don't know if he's spoken to your heart tonight, but if he has, I want you to mind him. I don't know what you might be carrying. I don't know what your dead stick is. I can't identify it for you. But you know what it is that keeps you back. You know what it is that holds you down. You know what it is that keeps you from having the power of God in your life. Why don't you bring it today and throw it down? Say, Lord, take this old dead dry stick and use it for your glory. Come on. Let's mind him tonight. You might have the key to the meeting. Let him have his way. What are we singing, brother?
Page 375. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
You ought to listen to him tonight. Let him have his way. Bring that dead dry stick. Come on, bring it. Bring it. Bring your hurt. Bring your pride. Bring your sin. Bring all that stuff that's holding you back and hindering you. Bring it to him. Let him have it tonight. He'll take it. Might just turn it into the rod of God. Let him have his way. Let him have his way.
Master today.